Welcome to the ninth episode of Fun with Scotch, our mostly Speyside episode. This is our second episode that we are doing on Speyside, and we had three lovely scotches, theoretically Speyside, lined up, and then we got here to do this, and one of them is not. So we're going to be a mostly Speyside. We've done this before. This is what happens when you don't actually research what you're going to buy before you go to the store and you go to the Speyside section and you accidentally pick up something that's on the border of Speyside and, oh, let's say the Highlands, just as an example. So tonight we have the Glenlivet Nadura, the Lismore Single Malt, and the not Speyside Edradour, which is actually a Guess what it is?
Highland.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes, Marlis, it's a Highland. So, we will begin tonight with Glenlivet Nadura.
All right. Now, most of you, of course, have heard of Glenlivet. It's one of the most well-known single malt scotches. The distillery has been in business since 1824. It's remarkably smooth, reliable. It's just kind of been a classic in the Scotch world. And in 2000, the distillery was bought by the French company, Pernod Ricard. And so they started trying to experiment a little bit with the classic Glenlivet. So they started Nadura. Now there's a couple different additions within that line. One is a first fill American oak, and I think I've tried that before and liked it a lot. And then you can also get a Nadura in first fill Oloroso sherry casks. And then this is the first time, however, they have issued a Nadura that is finished in peated whiskey casks. So in other words, the casks have contained a peated whiskey in the past, and the Glenlivet now is finishing some of their Naduras in a peated whiskey cask. So this is going to be really interesting. I haven't tasted this. There's more about the distillery and everything, but y'all can probably find that on your own. But they did start in 1824, and they have distilled continuously, except for a few years during World War II, since then. So they are a classic. So let's give it a smell. It's a nice light straw color. Oh, and this is cask strength, which means it's 61.57 alcohol, so I'm expecting it to be fairly strengthy. Oh, that is strong, but it's tasty.
Yeah, very. Yeah, I don't mind the alcohol level. It's got so much flavor.
It's a little strong for me. But you know, it kind of makes my tongue tingle.
Yeah, definitely.
I guess I'm just a little wuss when it comes to alcohol level. I need to.
What else was in this beside? It was in a peated cask and...
Yeah, it starts out, it ages the required 3 years or so in American oak, a first-use bourbon barrel, I assume. And then they finish it from 3 to 36 months in a peated whiskey cask.
Okay.
So it absorbs, they don't do any peating during the malting. It's not malted over a peat fire, or the barley isn't dried over a peat fire. So all the peat comes from the cask.
Nice.
But it is, it's got that lovely smooth base, and then just that smoke that kind of gets into it. But it is fairly strong, and it kind of explodes in the back of your mouth.
Yeah.
It does have a nice flavor. I just, I can still feel it at the back of my throat.
Yeah. Well, we'll try that with a little water in the second part of the show, and then see what happens.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you don't like strong whiskeys, you might want to add water or ice.
Yeah, water. Yeah, water. Maybe water and ice.
Yeah. But if you want, if it's a nice introduction into a peated whiskey, because you get a nice strong peat taste, but it's just on a smoother base, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not for the faint of heart, I think, when it comes to the alcohol, level. Yeah. So probably not great for first timers into the whiskey whelm. See what happens? I've only had two very small sips and I already can't speak. Woo. Alrighty.
All right. God, let's move on to the Lismore. All
right. Yeah.
Judy strikes again. Yeah.
Okay, the Lismore is single malt Speyside. This one is, I believe, 40% alcohol. This doesn't say on the bottle how long it was aged. I'm guessing, probably at least 3 years. I don't really know. But typically, if it's longer than that, they'll tell you. It was bottled, let's see, the Lismore brand was created in 1978. It started back in 32, I guess. Robert Lundy established a whiskey brokerage called Lundy and Morrison and carried that on for a while. Then they, his sons, William and John, established Lundy and Company in the 1950s. And then they didn't incorporate that until 1974. And then the brand itself, Lismore, was created in 78. So it's not that old of a brand, but it looks to be a pretty nice whiskey. I've had it in the past, but it's been a while. So we'll just have to see how it goes and see what we think.
It smells good. It smells a good deal sweeter than the Glenlivet.
It does.
Yes, definitely. And I don't smell a high alcohol.
No.
No.
Not at 40%, but sometimes even the 40% ones can smell kind of alcoholic.
Yeah, they can be a little raw. Mm-hmm.
And but this does not give you that raw smell.
It's got some spice. It seems to be kind of citrusy or...
Yeah, and it's very... compared to the Glenlivet, it's quite smooth. I didn't get any tingling on my lips. It went, but of course, possibly my taste buds are dead now from the other. But it tastes quite smooth after the Glenlivet. We'll have to try it again before we have anything else to see if it's as smooth as it tastes right now.
That's true.
But no, I think it's quite pleasant. And I think you're right. I think it has some spice and some citrus to it. John, do your notes have anything on
that? There's just a sweetness to it. I can't actually tag it to like honey or maple or anything like that, but it does have a nice sweetness as well.
No, I don't have any tasting notes that I've looked up. This is all just kind of off the cuff.
Okay.
I like it though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, and I should say the Glenlivet with taxes, and we live in a high tax state for liquor, was about 89. The Lismore was at Trader Joe's for, do you remember what?
I think it was $28.
Yeah, it's in the 20s somewhere, but that's before tax. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. But with the fees, it's probably in the 30s.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it's very tasty.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah, the Lismore right now is winning the affordability and the less tingly competition here.
It tastes like burning.
But, after you get over the whole burning thing, it was great.
Yeah.
It was great.
Nah,
okay.
That has to be, I think the Glenlivet has to be the strongest alcohol I have just honestly enjoyed.
You didn't like that Brewoclotic we had on our
anniversary?
It wasn't that high?
That high of an alcohol.
Really? Because I didn't like that one without water.
Yeah, it was higher than 40, I know that, but it wasn't as high as this
Glenlivet. Oh, okay. Yeah. It was a while ago.
It was a long time.
That was our 25th anniversary, which was almost 10 years ago. Okay. So those were our two Speysides. And then leave it to me. I go to Total Wine and More and pick out Edredor, which I found out when I got here is a Highland. So, but I'm hoping to really like it. It's been highly recommended. Now...
And it sounds like it should be the name of a dragon.
That's right. It's for you fantasy fans.
I know.
I think it's in Lord of the Rings. Yes.
It could be.
Yeah.
Or it should be.
Let's see. I have some notes here. So Edredor is a very, very small traditional distillery. And the notes say it's arguably the most unique. It's dating back to 1825. And it stands alone as the last stronghold of handmade single malt whiskey from a farm distillery still in production today. Now, I know someone who just went on a tasting tour in Scotland, and apparently I should have asked her what kind of scotch this was before I did this. But she said, she said, yeah, they have like 3 employees. Yes. And so I was really surprised to even find it. I don't know if, you know, 3 might be underestimating the number of people. But the notes do say that it produces in a year what larger distilleries produce in a week, which may account for it's a slightly higher price. It's not as much as the Glenlivet, but it was before tax, it was $67.99. So it put it in the, that's all we bought, wasn't it? Was this when it was like $80 with the taxes?
Yeah.
So that's some.
We have a lot of taxes.
We have taxes and we have fees and all kinds of things. But so it is kind of pricey, but we'll find out if it's worth it. It's chill filtered. And, oh, shoot, I had something on my phone that I found. It's 40% alcohol by volume. And I think that was, the methods of production remain virtually unchanged in the last 150 years. So that sounds like a distillery to go visit if you ever go to Scotland, because that sounds really fascinating. It'd be a lot more interesting than going to a regular huge modern production facility where all these machines are doing whatever they do, when you can go to this place that does everything. I mean, it says it's very handmade small. It's very small, so it's got a very pretty little picture on the label too. And this is the distillery edition, so let's give it a whirl. Let's see what it's like.
It smells wonderful. It's spicy, it really, and does. Sweet, kind of mapley, and it has a lovely, lovely nose.
Yes, it has hints of dried fruits, oloroso, and almonds. I think that's what I was looking for, is it's aged in a combination of oloroso, sherry, and I'm a librarian, I can't read, and bourbon casks, and it's chill filtered at 40% alcohol by volume. It does have a lovely aroma.
Yeah, I thought there's a wininess to it, not as in a naggy kind of thing, but as in, sherry and a sweet wine and that sort of thing. It's very tasty.
And it's really smooth.
Yeah, it is.
It's really smooth.
Mm-hmm.
That is lovely. I can see why Cindy liked this. Mm-hmm. I will say her name. Mm-hmm. Cindy really liked this. She said that was one of her favorites when they were in Scotland. Do you taste a spicy Christmas cake? It says you switched it.
I wouldn't be, because I used to make fruit cake and then pour brandy over it, and this is sort of reminiscent of a brandy or sweet wine, so yeah.
Right? Yeah, it says spicy Christmas cake, sweet golden syrup with a touch of honeyed almonds. I've never had honeyed almonds.
We'll have to work on that. But the this is better because you don't have to eat the fruitcake with it.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah. Or even the spicy Christmas cake.
Mm-hmm.
Or Christmas spice cake or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm definitely getting the dried fruit flavors. It's almost, it kind of reminds me of brown sugar a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really.
It is tasty.
Really it's sweet, lovely. Tasty. Mm-hmm. It's lovely. Yeah, I really like it. That's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now we're going to put a little bit of water in a few things here.
Time for water preparation. Preparation W.
No.
Thank you.
No.
You guys, you just don't have any sense of humor whatsoever.
I have one. It just doesn't go that direction.
Okay. Get closer together.
At least not on mic.
Not on mic. Yeah, we're trying to keep this so we don't have to put an explicit rating on our...
Right. Okay, now, so the Glenlivet Nadura, the peated version, with a little bit of water. It's still very good. I like it a lot. But, I'm not sure... Well, the water helped a little bit.
It softened the tinglies for me. It's not quite as aggressive on my tongue and my lips, so it does help quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
It is tasty. I can taste it better now that it's not
concentrated. Yeah, I think that's what it does.
It brought out the
flavors. With
something
this strong, it's definitely it changes it quite a bit, because it's not as upfront with the alcohol. It's still very strong, but the flavor is really good. And you can taste more things. I'm not sure how to describe what I'm tasting, honestly, but it's...
it is.
I don't know if I can call it leather, or if I'm getting that, or if I'm getting maybe charcoal a little bit.
A little bit. Kind of a cooked or a burnt
smoky
taste.
Smoky burnt wood flavor, a little bit.
Yeah, it's good. Very atmospheric. Again, in a dark pub on a stormy night, this would be an excellent thing.
You spend a lot of time in pubs on a stormy night.
Well, and I think most people should. I think that would be a good
thing.
And
in Scotland, I hear that would be often.
So,
it was a dark and stormy night. You and Snoopy could write a novel together.
Only he'd have to do the writing. I'd be just sitting there drinking scotch.
There you go.
He'd be laying on top of his little doghouse in the middle of a Scottish pub. And on a dark and stormy night.
Okay, so the Lismore with a little bit of water. Still very tasty. I don't know that the water did it much of
I liked
help.
It better without...
Yeah.
I don't know if it just seemed to change it, the flavor enough that, didn't do it any favors.
No, it dissipates the flavor a lot.
Yeah.
I liked it better without. And it's because it's sort of a gentler... whiskey, and it's in between these two really strong whiskeys, we may not be doing it justice. You know, if you just had a glass of Lismore, you would say, well, you know, this is pretty spicy, it's sweet, it's kind of nice. Put it between the Glenlivet and the Edradour, and it's...
that's the danger of
overpowering.
The way we do our tasting, because we're doing... It's really kind of it's a blind test in that we have not tried these in recent memory, you know, and... so we don't know if it's something is extra strong and we try not to do too much research beforehand because we don't want it to influence what we're seeing and tasting and our opinions. Pretty much looked things up right before I got here tonight, and John did it when he got here. So we don't know that something's going to be, we had no idea that the Nadura was going to be that, you know, slapping in your face. And the Lismore is going to be so gentle and lovely. Kind of like, I don't know, driving Miss Daisy or something.
Something like that.
I think Miss Daisy would probably enjoy that one.
Well, she probably would.
Because it's gentle.
I think she'd enjoy the Edradour, too.
Yeah.
That's really tasty. Well, and it's, I mean, we're deliberately trying to choose things that we aren't familiar with just to, one, expand our own experience, and two, give you a little idea of what to expect if you want to try some of these brands. So,
If we were just doing one per episode, then we might be able to give a slightly more accurate tasting profile because we aren't like burning out our taste buds on the first sip of the first one. So the Edradour with water?
It holds up very well to water.
I don't think it did anything, actually. It didn't change it at all for me.
Well,
it still tastes nice, and I don't detect a significant difference.
Yeah, there's a lot more flavor after the water with the Edradour than there was with the Lismore, for instance.
Yes.
When we put water in the Lismore,
it dulled it. Yeah,
it definitely toned down the flavor a lot, and it made it very much milder, which didn't do it any favors because. It was, you know, it was a good whiskey to start with, but it didn't need to be watered down at all. And the Edradour still has a lot of flavor.
I really like it.
Yeah, it's
going to be hard for me not to want that more often than I should for something that costs $80.
This is true.
You know, that's honestly
it's very
how
good.
I feel about that one.
Special occasions.
With all this tasting that we're doing, our liquor cabinet is so freaking full.
I know.
I'm not sure
I'm having
what we're going to do.
Reorganize
We might
things.
Have to have our friends over and have a major scotch tasting because,
And again, I would recommend if you want to start tasting more scotches and stuff, have a small scotch potluck. Invite 6 or 8 friends over. Tell each couple or individual that to bring one bottle of scotch that they may or may not have tasted. And so everyone only buys one bottle. and then you go home with whatever isn't drunk of your bottle, but you have some hearty hors d'oeuvres, and you get to taste five or six scotches that you haven't had before, and it's a wonderful way to introduce yourself mm-hmm. to some of these, and you will find things that are like, oh my God, that's wonderful, and oh my God, that's wonderful, and I can't afford it, to, oh my God, I'm not sure about that one. Yeah. So,
well, that's how mm-hmm. I got into scotch mm-hmm. at all, was because Marlis had one of those scotch tasting parties, and mm-hmm. we came over, or was it scotch or bourbon, or was it like a mix?
It was scotch, I'm pretty sure. Well, it could have been a mix.
It could have been a mix. Yeah. And I was like kind of indifferent to almost everything until I tasted, I think it was Lafroig. Mm-hmm. And I think the heavens opened up and the angels sang or something when mm-hmm. I tasted that. And mm-hmm. I've been a scotch lover since. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to like things that weren't peaty mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so that's a great way to do it. I mean, you can do it with scotch. You can do it with bourbon. You can do it with American whiskeys. You can mm-hmm. do it with, you know, all mm-hmm. any spirit that, you know, rums. We tasted some nice rums when we were in Barbados that time.
Yeah.
They had spiced mm-hmm. rum. I mean, that's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't when we did that cruise. I wasn't much of a hard alcohol drinker at mm-hmm. the time. Those were the days, and you know, and I didn't know that there was such a thing as a sipping rum. I mm-hmm. thought of it as rum and Coke. You know, that's all I knew about rum. You know, uh-huh. Bacardi and Coke, and so there was this really nice spiced rum and nice mm-hmm. sipping rums, and it was great. So yeah,
well, my
try
favorite
that out.
Rum is. Bottled and it's made in Belize.
In Belize,
and you can't get it anywhere else, as mm-hmm. far as I know.
Yeah, we haven't found it anywhere
else. You should try Dillinger's downtown, their rum room. They have a lot of really interesting.
Yeah, I don't think anybody imports it.
Dillinger's is a restaurant, small restaurant and cocktail bar here in Olympia, Washington, mm-hmm. so that doesn't help many of you.
Yeah, we could check it and see if they, mm-hmm. they might get it. You never
they
know.
Have the Nicaraguan rum that I like, so
So mm-hmm. they might have it, or you can even ask them about it and see if they could mm-hmm. possibly get a hold of it. But mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's really expensive to go to Belize just so you can get your favorite rum.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah, and if you know, I don't know if any of you have a chance to get to Belize, but if you do, just try Old Master. And
yeah,
I thought that was the best rum I've ever had, and I could just drink that all night. It was
and
great.
We did try to bring some back with us. It had a tragic accident on the way home.
No.
That was the one when we got to I guess it was Fort Worth or wherever, Dallas, Fort Worth. But coming back, we had to put it in our luggage at that point. And so we picked a luggage that unfortunately had a bad catch.
Oh,
and
no.
When we got to Seattle, we got a suitcase minus many things, including my hiking boots.
Oh, no.
And it had broken bottle in it, and someone else's dentine gum, and nothing else.
Oh, and we started out with several bottles. Mm-hmm. We had...
No, that was the hot sauce.
Yeah. And we had the rum, and we had a lot of personal things in there, too.
We had several bottles of hot sauce, and the only one that made it unscathed was the one... That was the extremely hot one that John likes, and I don't.
The flaming hot stuff.
The flaming hot burning.
Yeah, they have good hot sauce, you know, there too, by the way.
Bowels of hell, you know, hot sauce, and it was like all the lovely.
You're not a favor of tingling or burning.
No.
Like, okay.
Doesn't like fire.
I'm the person that goes to the Thai restaurant and gets, you know, zero stars for spice. Mm. So yeah, that was. I'm a very boring person in that category.
I just tasted that Edredor thing. That is really good.
It is.
Uh-oh, I'm going to have to hide my bottle from
Mark. Yeah, there's kind of a caramely... It's almost like some really nice bourbons that you like. I mean, it's not a bourbon, but you know, it's that kind of caramely sweet.
Mm-hmm. It has some similarities. It's very good.
And that is...
Soft, that you can just drink a lot of, which would not necessarily
that's bad.
Be a good
one,
thing.
One, because it's alcohol, and mm-hmm. two, because it's expensive.
Yeah.
For us. $80 mm-hmm. is expensive for us. Mm-hmm. But remember, this one's a Highland.
Mm-hmm.
The Edredor is a Highland. The other two are Speysides, because this is the mm-hmm. mostly Speyside episode mm-hmm. of Fun with Scotch. Oh, and I had... What was that thing? I wanted to give... I have some whiskey news that I saw on Instagram today, and John said I should mention it, even though I don't know how many people...
It is June 22nd, 2018, by the way.
Thank you, Marlis.
Well, you said today, so...
Yeah, it's important to know that if you're going to impart some news.
So,
on Instagram, Master of Malt on Instagram, mm-hmm. said, big whiskey news today. The Macallan maker, Edrington, has announced it's putting both Glenturret and Cutty Sark up for sale.
Huh?
And apparently they are also the ones who do Famous Grouse.
Oh.
And I read it. I did a search and looked it up. And the Famous Grouse Visitor's Center is apparently at one of the distilleries that's included in the sale. Uh-huh. So they're closing their Famous Grouse Visitor Center. So I guess we won't be going there when we go to Scotland.
No.
And they don't know if they're going to reopen it somewhere else because they were asked that. And they're like rethinking their whole, you know, universe. So, so yeah, Cutty Sark and that other one that I don't.
Famous Grouse?
No, Famous Grouse isn't for sale. It was another one that I've never heard of. And I've never heard of a lot of things. So this is not surprising. Mm-hmm. Glenturret. If I'm pronouncing it correctly. So the American Glenturret is, it's for sale.
All right.
And if you got a few bucks laying around, maybe you want to own a Scotch distillery in Scotland. But that's in the whiskey news. In fun with Scotch news, we now have a Facebook and an Instagram.
Accounts.
Mm-hmm. And Instagram is @FunWithScotch, and Facebook is FunWithScotch and Other Fine Spirits. I mean, you can just put in Fun with Scotch, and it should pop up.
Yeah.
And it's like Facebook.com/FunWithScotch. So check us out. Like our page. Like our Instagram page. And you can, know when we're getting ready to do another episode, when another episode's out. We're still working on getting ourselves into iTunes.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe this weekend will be the lucky weekend.
Okay.
Who knows?
And the webpage is FWSPC, Fun with Scotch Podcast.com.
Oh, no, but
it's just FWSPC.
.com. Yeah. And our email, if you ever want to send us some Scotch suggestions to try or comments,
funwithscotch@gmail.com.
That's it. We look forward to hearing from you. I hope you'll like our pages and listen to us often.
Thank you.
All right.